2022 in Re Apotronics Limited. Ms. Chen.
The key issue in this case is how far the KSR simple substitution rationale can be carried in the obviousness inquiry when the prior references themselves do not actually have an expressed like teaching or suggestion or motivation to combine two references in this specific to replace some of the elements in the primary reference with some of the elements from the secondary reference.
Is the heart of your contention that Cato doesn't show using blue light?
It is one of our arguments, but for the heart of our contention is really how many substitutions that will have to be done in order to change the Cato reference or the structure described in the Cato reference into something that's the same that satisfies the claims of the apotonic.
And your argument is that it would be difficult to bring in UV light and combine it with Cato, right?
No, we're not arguing that.
No.
From a technical standpoint, it would not be difficult because the McGuire reference actually expressly said one could use either a blue light or a UV light as the excitation light. The real issue here is then that what happens to the rest of the Cato structure. So the device is one that generates basically the RGB three primary colored lights in a sequence and used for in a projector. So at the upstream end there is the excitation light, which could be according to McGuire, either UV or blue light, and Cato itself uses a UV light. And then somewhere downstream is this plate that has different segments that carry what we call a wavelength conversion material that would absorb the excitation light and convert it to a red, blue, or green light or other colored light. And between these two components, there is the so-called dichroic element or dichroic mirror that would allow the upstream excitation light to pass down to the plate where the wavelength conversion materials are, but it would reflect the converted light, which are longer wavelengths, they're different colors, to prevent them from traveling backwards. And that's what the Cato overall structure is. So Cato uses a UV light because it's more energetic, it's a shorter wavelength than both RGB lights, so the downstream wavelength.
Well, the only thing it's missing is blue line, right?
What is missing is the blue excitation light. But then, in the Cato device, if you change the blue excitation light or the UV excitation light to a blue light, then most of the components downstream from the excitation light source would have to be changed as well, because these wavelength conversion materials are they're chemicals that they have a specific absorption spectrum, meaning they would only absorb light of certain wavelength ranges, and then they would have the emission spectrum, which would be RGB colors. So if you change the excitation light from the UV light to something else, to blue light, then you would have to use different phosphors or these wavelength conversion materials. They're different chemicals, different compounds. And the element in between, the dichroic mirror, also have specific bandwidth that they would pass or transmit and specific bandwidth that they would reflect. So if you change the blue light to a UV light to a blue light, then the dichroic mirror will have to, instead of pass UV light, now they have to pass blue light.
Are the claims of the 114 infringed by the use of a device with UV light?
No, it would, because it would specifically require the excitation light source to be a blue light. Since the claims are open-ended, if you use both a UV light and a blue light, it would still be great, but you would have to use at least one blue light as the excitation light source. because that's actually it's expressly recited and was actually one of the claim amendments made in the examination.
That you have to at least use some blue line.
As the fixed citation light source. So really, the heart of our contention is both the patent examiner and PTAB, when they formulated this the simple substitution, the KSR rationale, what they said is the only change you have to make was to change the UV light into blue light, and one of the multiple segments would have to be made into a clear or a segment that doesn't carry a wavelength conversion material, because when it's a blue light, then you really don't need to convert it, because the downstream blue component can be satisfied with the light source itself. So for the, these two components that would have to be substituted are actually two different parts of the entire system, and they already said that that's only one missing feature, and this argument is carried in the solicitor's brief as well. They characterize that as the only difference between Cato and claim one being this one difference. There are actually two components that would have to be substituted. But we're arguing that in addition to these two components, you have to substitute most of the segments in the dichroic mirror, because now they have to pass a different light. And also that the other wavelength conversion materials, not just the one that is changed from a blue phosphor to a clear segment, the red and green phosphors would also have to be changed, because now they must absorb a blue light instead of UV light. They must be changed to different chemicals. So one problem with the PDAF position is that it failed to recognize what the actual substitution has to be, what multiple substitutions have to be. And so when they formulate this simple substitution rationale under KSR, it says there's only one change that needs to be made. So really, when you correctly look at, from the technical standpoint, what needs to be done to change the primary reference into our claim, there are what we call it a wholesale substitution. Almost nothing of relevance in terms of claim components would be left. Everything would have to be changed to something else. And
not to accommodate blue light, right?
I'm sorry?
To accommodate blue light instead of UV light.
Correct. So legally, when they formulated their rejection and the PTAB, when they opposed the examiner's rejection, the legal argument was the only missing element was the blue light plus the clear segment. But in reality, it wasn't.
Sure.
So actually, the patent examiner, from a technical standpoint, the patent examiner actually recognized that these other multiple substitutions would have to be made. But that's after he said he applied the use of the KSR rationale. That said the simple substitution of one element for another was predictable result. And then he said, okay, well then I recognize that these other substitutions would have to be made, from a technical standpoint is correct, but they're all obvious. So really, the legal issue is when the prior art itself actually does not supply an actual suggestion or motivation. When you support an obviousness conclusion based on this articulated by the patent examiner or the PTAB rationale of simple substitution, how far can you go? At what point does it stop being a simple substitution of one element for another?
Okay, do you want to reserve the rest of your time for rebuttal? Mr. Hickman.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the court. Apostronix's device is the same device as Cato's device, except that Apostronix's device can use a blue light source instead of a UV light source. McGuire teaches that a blue light source can be used in place of a UV light source. To show why the board's obvious misanalysis was correct, I'd like to briefly cover three points today. First, I'd like to recap the Apostronix device so we all understand the parts of that device and what those parts are doing in the device. Second, I will review Cato and McGuire and show how they disclose the exact same parts doing the exact same thing as the parts in the claimed Apostronix device. And finally, I will explain why, in light of what Cato and McGuire teach, the board's obviousness analysis was correct. Figure 1 of the Apostronix patent, which is at page A118 of the appendix, provides a pretty good summary of the claim device. And figure 1, page A118, basically what we have is a light source, number 100. That light source can either emit UV light or blue light. And it emits the light toward a rotary wheel, which is number 104 in the figure. That rotary wheel rotates, and the rotary wheel has different regions on it. If we turn to page A119 of the appendix, figure 3B, we see that there are different regions in this particular rotary wheel. And the idea is that the wheel is rotating and it's converting the incoming UV or blue light into red, green, blue, or white light. To produce a visual image for a screen, we need at least red, green, and blue light. So the first two components are the light source and the rotary wheel. The third component that's at issue here is the dichroic filter. The dichroic filter is somewhere between the rotary wheel and the light source. And what the dichroic filter does is that it ensures that only UV light or blue light enters the wheel. And then when the converted light exits the wheel, the dichroic filter ensures that the converted light doesn't bounce back toward the light source. Now let's take a look at what Cato and McGuire disclose. Cato's device is the same device disclosed in Apostronix's patent, except that it uses only UV light instead of blue light. And if we look at page A207 of the appendix, page A207 has figures from Cato's device, and we can see that the figure shows that the two devices. That Apostronix's device and Cato's device look quite similar.
It's figure one you're looking at?
Figure one, the numbers are a little hard to read, but on the upper left-hand corner is figure one. And at the very bottom of that figure, there's kind of a box with a round top on it. That's the light source. That's element number 101. And then the rotary wheel is just above the light source. It's element 102, although it's hard to read from the page. It's the same thing that's happening in the Apostronix device. The light is emitting UV light. It's hitting the rotary wheel. And if we look at figure 3, which is in the upper right-hand corner on page 837, we can see two different perspectives of the rotary wheel. The top perspective shows the side of the wheel that faces the light source, and that's where the dichroic film is. So as in the Apostronix device and Cato, the dichroic film is ensuring that only UV light reaches the wheel, and it ensures that when the light exits the wheel, it doesn't bounce back towards the light source. The bottom perspective of the wheel on page A207 is the exiting side of the rotary wheel, and that's where the wavelength conversion materials are, probably phosphors. They actually convert the incoming UV light into red, green, or blue light. So the only thing that Apostronix's device can do that Cato's device can't do is that Apostronix's device can use blue light in addition to UV light. And McGuire tells us that a blue light can be used instead of a UV light. That fact has been undisputed in this case. McGuire also tells us that the rotary wheel can have a what it calls a non-fluorescent region on the wheel to let it pass blue light. McGuire's specification explicitly says this, page A223, column 4, lines 25 to 33. And the idea with using a non-fluorescent region or a transparent region on the wheel is that if we have blue light coming in from the light source, we don't want to convert the blue light into something else. We want to simply let that blue light pass through the wheel. So in light of what Cato and McGuire teach, the board's legal conclusion of obviousness was correct. Cato's and McGuire's teachings show us that a person of ordinary skill in the art has the knowledge to construct the precise invention that Apotronix claims. McGuire shows this in a simple substitution of common elements to use a blue light instead of the UV light source, and that when one uses UV to use a transparent region on the wheel paired when one uses the blue light source to use a transparent region on the wheel to simply let the blue light pass through. So in sum, persons of ordinary skill in the art would have had the background knowledge and creativity to make these simple substitutions. Cato and McGuire provide solid evidence of that, and for that reason, we would ask that the court affirm the board's decision.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hickman. Ms. Chen?
Yes, the question really is not whether these different components can be put together. Technically, there is not much of a challenge of putting these things together. But the real question is why? Why the starting point of a person of one who's in the art is the Cato device. And it uses the UV light, and there's no perceived problem with using the UV light. The Cato system itself is perfectly self-contained. It's fine. It has all of the elements that are necessary to generate the sequence of light. So the simple fact that one could paint, seven out of eight components of Cato and change it to something else, the lack of technical difficulty in doing that is really not the issue. The issue is why would someone do that?
Well, what you seem to be suggesting is that the invention of using blue light is not an invention at all because it has no benefit.
Both systems, both using blue or UV light, would output the same sequence of...
Is there a benefit to using blue light?
I'm sorry?
Is there a benefit to using blue light instead of UV light?
There may be practical benefits, for example, the availability of the blue light, or the power of the blue light may be stronger than the UV light, and these chemicals that absorb the excitation light and emit in the visible range, some of the chemicals may work better with blue light or UV light.
So why isn't that a reason to substitute blue for UV?
But that is McGuire case. The McGuire reference does not discuss which one is more beneficial, or in terms of its practical consideration. And also, with different technological.
But we've held a motivation to combine doesn't have to be in the prior art reference, right?
That's correct. So neither the board or the examiner articulated any of these practical reasons. What he said was these McGuire teachers either or, so one could pick either or. Now that kind of rationale or line of thinking works when it truly is a simple substitution. You would just take two components for equivalent and they both do the same thing, and maybe one designer just happened to pick one versus the other. But in this case, every component need to work together. So without some overall consideration as to the relative advantages or disadvantage of the light source or the other components, including the wavelength conversion devices, because they are chemicals, they do have properties that are not entirely predictable, and a lot of times Well, with the advance of technology, different chemicals may become available that work better or worse with UV or blue light. So all of these are considerations that are not explained. So just to take a simple conceptual point that the McGuire prior art said it could be UV or blue, and just say then, in the Cato case, you would have changed UV light to blue light, and along with that, almost all of the components downstream, without actually explaining or having any finding of fact as to, you know, why someone of Winnesco and art would do that. I think the board decision lacks substantial evidence for that either.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Chan. Thank both counsel. The case is submitted.